So have you guys seen these videos that are rolling out, done by the Center for Medical Progress, that are exposing what's going on behind the scenes at Planned Parenthood? I think there are about four of them so far that have come out. Have you guys seen these?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
What are your initial thoughts as you've looked upon them?
Go ahead, Kyle, because I'm going to, there's going to be a lot of emotion here. So you go ahead.
My initial thought, I mean, it's gruesome. It's bloody. It's a culture of death. It was so bothersome to me. You know, all the way from the nonchalant, let's make some comments about how I want a Lamborghini, to the displaying of a child's body parts. Which was horrific, and I don't think unnecessary, as horrific it was. You know, I think sometimes as Christians, I remember John Piper was once asked, should you watch the beheading videos of ISIS?
Yeah.
And he actually admitted on air, he said, you know, I have watched those videos, and I'm not going to say every Christian needs to. Mm-hmm. But he said, I have watched it, and he said, this is going to sound weird, but I actually printed a picture out one time of a decapitated human that ISIS had killed. And he said, and I carried it around with me to remind me of the nature of evil and the reality of sin. And so as disturbing as they were, I think it does reveal to us the nature of evil. You know, and I know there's a lot of people clamoring, oh, context, context. But, you know, there's no way to spin a positive context on the murder of children.
No, absolutely.
I don't care if you have the full video or not. There's no context is necessary. It's killing children. So I have watched them. They were incredibly disturbing to me all around.
I share every sentiment he just expressed. But the thing that's really irritating me is the response of certain segments of society trying to exonerate it or downplay it or even go on the offensive, like, well, this was dishonesty and all that kind of stuff. Well, yeah, when you're dealing with shenanigans like what's going on, you might have to use a little bit of guile. You know what? And I applaud them for that. But I'm gonna hold off on some of these articles I wanna point to and interact with. But yes, Barry, I have watched them and they've got me fired up.
Yeah, it is amazing to watch, like, the president of Planned Parenthood, Cecil Richards, the interview that was done with her by Stephanopoulos, and she, you know, she just came out. It didn't really matter what the question was. She was just going to keep repeating her memorized statements and, you know, using anti-abortion and right-wing extremists as many times as she could, as long as she was on the air, and just downplaying it. And, you know, I think in the fourth video, they play a segment of her interview where she says something like, I'm eager for the facts to come out. And just the irony of that as the facts do come out. It's interesting, though, isn't it, that, you know, for 40 years, these facts have been coming out where people have been telling what's going on behind the scenes. You get your strong-minded pro-life demonstrators holding up signs of the aborted babies, pictures of the aborted babies, and those types of things. So it's not that people haven't known what's going on behind the scenes so much. So what do you think it is about these particular videos that has even got the national media? I even heard Hillary Clinton has said, maybe even today, that it's disturbing, which is an incredible statement for her to make. So what do you think it is about these videos that's maybe doing something unlike what we've seen previously?
Well, I think there's some merit to, and I've heard some people talk about this, that in some ways, while I abhor abortion in all of its forms, there's a certain sense in which walking in someone's shoes, you might be able to understand the internal logic while you disagree with it. And and in the past, I think they've tried to promote it as a necessary evil in our world. You know, you think about the language that our president used well, we don't want to encourage abortions, but we realize this is the reality. And so for a long time, I think it's been portrayed as a necessary evil. But what is coming to light is it's not, Planned Parenthood isn't viewing this as a necessary evil, but a celebration of good.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't use the argument anymore. This is a necessary evil for the conditions in which we live, for as tragic as rape is, for the rape victim, for the unwanted pregnancy. No, now abortion's getting redefined as a positive good for society, as a positive good for culture. And I think, at least for me, these videos have been very enlightening in that, to make me realize whatever talking points they may have about necessary evil and trying to help those who are struggling in life, no, at the end of the day, many of these people view it as a positive good. It's not a blemish on our nation in any way. It is a good to be celebrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say, yes, it's because it's so candid, and you're capturing somebody in their quote-unquote natural environment, right? Mm-hmm. You're seeing them for what they really are. Now, granted, these movies are edited down, and that's a lot of the complaints of the other side is, oh, you're taking an hour or 2 hours of film footage and you're getting it down to the worst. Well, guess what? That's the fact that you can do that means that there's a reality there, and everybody sees it. So to try to cover it up, like, oh, you're editing it down. Well, guess what? If you record a parent for 2 hours with his kids, but for just a little bit of that, he shakes his infant or screams obscenities at his child, guess what? People are going to raise eyebrows and raise concerns. And so I say, you know what? The very fact that you said these things at all and that you're doing these things at all is proof in the pudding. So, of course, yes, people are seeing this. They're getting upset. And you know what I say? Rightfully so. And I think let's just push this as far as we can, because Planned Parenthood knows, and everybody on that side knows, that this is a battle, right? It is a war of ideas. And this is our opportunity to, I say, defund it. Just shut the whole thing down. That's my objective, and I'm not afraid to say it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think, as I've just thought about how, you know, again, it's gotten people's attention in a new way. I think one of the other factors in that is just the arrogance. I think Americans don't like it when they see someone just being arrogant and in your face with almost anything. And just to see the arrogance just pouring out of the pores of these people as they just speak so callously about this.
Yep.
And, you know, the Lamborghini remark. And I think that's part of what's stirring people's hearts and minds up against this. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you guys is there was a blog done by a man named Josh Howerton, and he entitled his blog, this was a day or two ago, Planned Parenthood, our William Wilberforce moment.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you guys if you think, is this the Wilberforce moment? Is this a time where you think that, we saw in the early 19th century in Britain, unlike what happened here with the Civil War, that he was able to use, Wilberforce was to use his tenacity and, you know, he did some of the same types of things that you yep. feel like this Center for Medical Progress is doing, yep. take politicians out on a, you know, a boat ride, and unknowing to them, they end up before a slave ship, or spending 3 hours on the floor of Parliament just reading accounts of what slavery was really like, mm-hmm. you know, ultimately changed the conscience of the nation. Do you think that's the type of thing that's going to be happening here? Yes or no?
I think it could be, and it may very well be. And here's why. Even though the polls say that 50% of Americans are pro-choice. But because I believe that we are living in God's universe and that we are made in the image of God, I also know that these people know, really, that this is wrong. And so if you can have something like this shake that knowledge, just grab people and put it in their face and shake them, and if we can have the church stand up and be the church, and if we can have a few, as it were, Wilberforces, we need a couple of those, right? We need somebody to spearhead this thing, then yes, I think it could have a serious ripple effect.
How about you, Kyle?
Well, I always feel like I'm the naysayer.
You're the naysayer.
I'll be transparent here, and I could get myself into trouble with somebody. I would regard myself as a pessimistic amillennialist.
Okay,
I have an overwhelming pessimism concerning the state of the world.
Now, see, I'm an optimistic amillennialist.
Well,
so
there's our difference.
Okay.
I don't think this is going to turn into a Wilberforce moment. I think in some ways there's some wonderful points of connection. I think just like Wilberforce told the House of Commons or whatever they have over there that you can turn your eye, but you can't ever say you didn't know. I think that type of a truth is coming out where people aren't going to be able to turn a blind eye. They're not going to be able to claim ignorance anymore. There's more of a revealing of this thing. But I don't think at the end of the day, those who advocate life are going to win. And I don't think we're going to change the conscience of this nation. I think that, and I'm not an expert in the days and times of William Wilberforce, but even some of the philosophical commitments and the way that culture was going during Wilberforce's day is very, very different than the direction our culture is headed in. They were coming out of an era, getting ready to enter into the Victorian era, which came with a certain Victorian morality, which was really a response to some of the libertinism of the day. But it was a day and age that really stressed sexual restraint, moral discipline, hard work, independence, and respectability. And I don't think that's the same drift that our culture is experiencing. And I'm not saying that Wilberforce wasn't a massive tool for good and changing society, but society as a large was changing, and Wilberforce happened to step into that stream of change and advance things.
So you think the direction is just going all the wrong way right now?
Yeah, I think it is. I think whereas society on a very human level was improving in those days, I don't view any progress in our society today. I'm viewing major regress from where I'm sitting.
Huh. And so to straw man you, so that means you're just not doing anything then? You don't care?
No, not at all. I called both my senators today and voiced my support for them to defund Planned Parenthood.
Good job.
Yeah.
My pessimism doesn't control me. So,
yeah, one of the things that I really, in many ways, agree with Kyle that, you know, you look at England, and though it was a world empire, still it was a small nation, and there were other forces at work. You know, Wilberforce wasn't the only one. There was the whole Clapham sect, all these men and women, very influential in society, who are banding together, studying together, and trying to influence society on many different levels. And you compare that, you know, the relatively small geographical area to the vastness of the United States and the diversity of thought and all that we have. It's a much bigger beast to tackle it. Now, again, God can work and certainly change us, but I think we have to be careful of over-eager optimism. I just read a book. It was by James Davidson Hunter. It's about changing the world. To change the world, the irony, here's the fuller title, The Irony, Tragedy, and Possibility of Christianity in the Late Modern World. And one of the theme of his book is basically, he talks about all these different ministries that really have that as their slogan. We're going to change the world or be world changers. And without mocking him too much, he he really talks about how that's just a simplistic approach to culture, because, and pretty much the imagery he gives is that culture is like this huge, massive iceberg. And so often we're concentrating on trying to influence the tip of that iceberg that we see above the water level. But underneath that are all these institutions and underlying forces that really are going into shaping a culture. And until you get down into those deep levels and see, you know, that being permeated with a different philosophy and a different way of thinking, you're not going to change the world. So, I'm glad for what's going on. I think it's it gives some hope in the, what has been a dire battle. But I think we have to be careful to think that this necessarily will be the Wilberforce moment as much as we can hope that it is.
And I think to add to that, or I'm sorry, Austin.
No, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
I think to add to that, you know, the whole religious climate, even of Wilberforce's day, evangelical Christianity was a force to be reckoned with. And one of the things, and I'm not an expert on this era, but as I think about it, Wilberforce pushed more than an issue. The whole thing, it had a worldview attached to it. And maybe we need to take this as a bit of an indictment against modern-day evangelicalism, that our Christianity has failed in many ways in the last several generations, I think, to be a worldview. And unless we are recognizing that and pushing a total worldview, I don't know that we're going to have the same effect that the evangelical Christianity of earlier years is going to have. I look at the contemporary evangelical movement, and while it shares a name with other movements in the past, I just don't think that it equals them. And I wonder what evangelicals are all about. I wonder what a quote-unquote evangelical worldview really is. And I think that's going to hurt the cause overall, personally, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. One thing, okay, so maybe it won't end up being a Wilberforce moment, but what I'm extremely thankful for is that it does give us a moment. It gives us a moment for the church to be the church and to stand for justice and to yell in the streets, as it were, and those kinds of things. Because I'm reminded, as you guys know, I've been looking to move, so that's put me on a lot of Google Maps, looking at Florida, different areas. And one thing that's interesting to do is if you take a city like Jacksonville and you type in church, all these little red dots pop up, and it's amazing how many there are. It looks like a horrible case of measles. And you do that with pretty much any city, and there's just red dots everywhere. Now, the disheartening...
Shingles. I think you should have used the image.
Yeah, shingles, right. Yeah. It's overrun with shingles. Yes. Now, the disheartening part is that a lot of those red dots, the lampstand is ready to be removed or has been removed. But there is still such a strong presence, and I just think, oh, church, wake up. Wake up, church, and speak like you're supposed to speak. You know, that's where the judgment begins. But besides all that, what I am so thankful for is this is in the spotlight. This is being discussed. The blogosphere is just being lit up right now. And you have advocates of all, you know, of abortion trying to give their replies. And you have, you know, I do like to follow Douglas Wilson. He is just blasting every day from his blog, you know, just lobbing cannons over on the other side. And I love it. And I'm so thankful for that.
Well, I think that brings up, you know, what I think's really the definitive thing is that it has to be an intentional Christian response that's full orb, like Kyle was saying. And that was behind Wilberforce. I mean, he wrote a book right at the turn of the century on it. The modern title they give is Real Christianity, but it's the fuller title was, you know, he was basically critiquing the liberal church in England and then presenting what real Christianity looked like in somewhat the same vein as Machen did later. And I think that's what we really have to, as we bring this particular issue and use this issue of abortion and this grotesque practice, what we need to do is keep showing people the false worldview underneath it. And I love in this blog post that I referenced, one of the lines that he has here is that he says it is a gospel issue. And I love this. Mm-hmm. He says, abortion is the evil reverse image of the gospel. Instead mm-hmm. of I'll die for you, it says you die for me. And we need to tell people that. I think that yeah. just captures the essence,
it does.
The difference between true Christianity and all these false forms, many of which, and I think almost, well, certainly more disgusting to me than seeing Planned Parenthood's president out there promoting this or seeing some of the liberal churches defending Planned Parenthood. To see someone who says they're a minister of the gospel standing for this evil, to me, that's just such a false prophet and a gross, gross thing.
Yep.
When, and I love the opportunity to, as the other side responds, I don't know, I've been reading different things. People on Facebook will link different things. You hear different things in the blogosphere. And the response from the left or the response from Planned Parenthood or these different people, it boils my blood because what they're saying is so foolish and fallacious. And I love to have – to take for an example, I think it was either the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, and the editorial board was commenting. And they said in one thing in here, this is a quote, "The Center for Medical Progress campaign is a dishonest attempt to make legal, voluntary, and potentially life-saving tissue donations appear nefarious and illegal." And I just want to say – and then they basically go on and others will talk like this. Look. You have two choices. You have this. You can either discard. You can discard the fetal tissue using costly medical waste services, or it can be used for medical research and save lives. And then they'll point out, like, look, they're only getting $30 to maybe $100 per specimen. You're not making a lot of money off this. Or don't you know that Planned Parenthood, really 3% of what they do is really only abortions? You know, they only do like 330,000 abortions a year. Well, can you imagine if I were to say, you know, only 3% of the time I kill people, but 97% of the time I don't. Or, I only kill 3% of black people, but the other 95% or 97% are great. Can you imagine if I said that? I mean, it's absurd. The central question in all of this is, what are we dealing with? Is it a human being? And is it murder? If the answer is yes, who cares about percentages?
Well, even that's not a true percentage. Kevin DeYoung tweeted out that Planned Parenthood, here's the statistics, adoption referrals, 2,197, prenatal services, 19,506, and abortions, 327,166. So as a percent of services, it's 93.8%. So they just lie. I mean, it's just lie upon lie upon lie.
Well, and listen to it, 330,000 abortions. I mean, I'm sorry, but if it's wrong, it doesn't matter if it's one or a million, right? It doesn't matter. And so I want to push people back to the central question is, look, atheists or whomever you are, secularists or humanists, if your worldview is right, why are we even debating this? Why don't we just become true utilitarians and consequentialists and just go, you know what, let's just go ahead and harvest a few of the naughty people, adults, and use their body parts. Why not, right? Who cares? But if we are living in God's world, then guess what? You're facing a judge who considers these little ones precious in his sight, and you're killing them. That's serious. So I love the opportunity to be able to press these things.